taking care with your body and with your place, the placement of your body. About the 3rd century before the Common Era, there were a group of sages that put together a way of life, a way to understand something that we call today karma. Karma. You guys know that word, karma, right? Have you heard that word before? K-A-R-M-A.
Yes.
Yeah, karma. And the idea of karma is it's relational and it's action-based. It's relational and it's action-based. And so it's about cause and effect. Cause and effect. And we get to kind of understand our lives utilizing this understanding of karma and this understanding of cause and effect. As a yogi, as a yoga practitioner, one who practices yoga, and I mean yoga on the macro level more than like I stretch my body, but really it's I live in an embodied way. And that means not turning away from the world. I turn into the world. Yeah, I turn into the world. And so we get to understand these kind of two ways, this understanding of cause and effect. And first we need to understand the causal relationship between our actions and the effects of our actions. So they understand the causal relationship. And the second is once we become sensitive to the devastating effects of our actions in the human and non-human world, we need practice skills for learning how to take action, especially when our minds are caught in reactivity and distraction and are unable to touch the present moment. And from there, we can begin to plant positive seeds in the mind, in the body, and in the body politic. So I'll just review that very briefly again. There's this idea of karma, which has to do with cause and effect. And the first thing we have to do is we have to understand that there's a causal relationship between our actions and the effects of our actions. And the third is that, the second is that we need to develop a practice. We have to develop a practice. We need practical skills for learning how to be in the world. And we can learn these practical skills over and over and over again as we go through the cycle of life. Over and over and over again as we move through the cycle of life. And the yogis that laid out this framework, they laid out a framework that we call ethics. And it exists across the board in spiritual tradition, ethics. And we've gone over them a few times, and I know some of y'all have a little bit more experience with them than others, but I feel like now is a very important moment to reconnect in with cause and effect, with the actions, with what karma really is, and to understand that things aren't happening in a linear sense energetically. It's not like all of a sudden, what we're seeing out in the world is just happening, right? There's been enslavement of people and inequality to a gross extent for millennia, right? And so what we're seeing right now is the response to some of that. And it's going to keep playing out, I don't doubt that. And so understanding how to be in the world as a full human, as an embodied human, is a responsibility of somebody that's taken a path to open their mind and open their heart. And there's two concepts in Buddhism that may be interesting to y'all. When you wish well for all beings, so what we do at the end of the class, when we say, may all beings be well, When we say, may all beings be happy. When we say, may all beings be free from suffering. When we say, may our practice be a benefit to all sentient beings, we're putting out an offering. We're putting out an offering of balance and care and compassion for all beings in a very specific way. And this wish for the end of suffering for all beings is called bodhicitta. Bodhicitta. And you guys can say it.
Bodhicitta.
Bodhicitta. Bodhicitta. And a person who wants to end suffering for all beings is a bodhisattva. A bodhisattva. And there are vows that a bodhisattva takes in Buddhist practice, and we're not going to get into those vows, but there is a corollary between ethical action in the yoga traditions, as specifically put forward in the Yoga Sutras, and in the Buddhist traditions of vows and of ethical actions. And so I want you, as this world is really feeling a volcanic eruption of pain, right? And I don't have anything nice to say about the causes of this suffering. The causes of this suffering are anger, hatred, greed, and delusion. You know, these are the concepts that in Buddhism you work with. We see them in our own minds. And so now we see them in our own minds and we're seeing them in the world. And so the yogis laid out this framework. They laid out this ethical path. And the first, it's not like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a linear fashion, but I'm giving them to you in a list because that's an easier way for our mind to grasp them. The first one that was laid out, the first principle, is ahimsa. And it's A-H-I-M-S-A, ahimsa. And I want you to say that word, ahimsa.
Ahimsa.
Ahimsa. Ahimsa. And ahimsa is translated in a few different ways. And one of the primary ways it's translated in is nonviolence. Nonviolence. And if you think about it in an embodied sense, this is called Copernic bending down on his knee. This is Dr. King's teachings around nonviolence as a form of protest. There's another side to this ahimsa, and this is protection. And my teacher, Michael Stone, describes ahimsa as a form of protection. And so what are we protecting when we take a vow of nonviolence? This is a question. I'm not gonna like expound on it. I want you to think about it. So what are we protecting when we take a vow of nonviolence? And so I want you just in your own mind to just for a moment, just pause and feel the places in yourself that you can offer a little bit of protection towards. We can say a place to take refuge. Just feel, where are the places in your life where you take refuge? In spiritual practice? Snuggling your puppy? Coming together and feeling our breath? In nature? Just feel for yourself the places where I take refuge. And for a moment, once that becomes quite clear in your mind, offer that gift of refuge, that gift of refuge, that gift of refuge, that gift of protection to all beings everywhere. And if it's easier for you to pinpoint all beings everywhere, if you've got a friend in Canada or a, you know, a cousin in South Africa, you can kind of direct it specifically out to the universe where you know people. And then you can let that web become more broad, offering refuge to the family of George Floyd, offering refuge to any child right now that is hungry, that is in a place of suffering. So offering out that gift of protection and feeling that quality of bodhicitta, that quality of may all beings be free. And that vow of the bodhisattva to end the suffering of all beings. You're not sitting on your mat just to work out your muscles. You gotta understand that. So the reason why you're committed to your practice is not just for physical health. It's a beautiful component of it, but your path has led you here for some different reasons. So ahimsa, protection, nonviolence, refuge, care. And the second principle that's laid out is satya. And satya means honesty. It's translated more, most generally, as truth. Truth can sometimes be subjective. And honesty can be the way that you're actually feeling right now based on your life experience, based on all the things you've been exposed to. And there is a truth that has emerged currently, and we're all white women here in this space. And this truth that's emerged is that we exist in a space of extreme privilege due to the color of our skin. It's a truth. And we can be honest about it. And it can feel confusing and scary. And we can also simultaneously be very sad and very frustrated with what's happening in the world, and particularly to people of color. So as you're opening your mind and your heart in that space of bodhicitta as a bodhisattva, understanding satya in an embodied sense, that as the light of awareness shines on ignorance, sometimes it's very hard to see the space of what's really happening in the world outside of our beautiful bubbles. And so then you can turn back, and this is where the embodied aspect of these come through, and I'm only going to go through these two. But where you can see that satya reflects back on ahimsa. Because when I see the truth in the world, when I see the truth in my own mind, when I see the truth in others, then I can offer refuge and compassion. And nonviolence becomes a form of practice and protest. Because it's connected to what's really happening in the world. It's not ungrounded. It's not, we're not sitting in caves. Like, I know we all have very complicated existences. And we also all have a lot to be thankful for. These are ads, right? We're holding these two together simultaneously. And so I want you to know that this is a really strange time. And it would not be responsible of me as somebody who's taken a path of compassion and care and teaching and spirituality to say to you guys, like, this is a time where people are feeling very vulnerable. And so I want you to offer care for yourself, and I also want you to offer action. If you haven't filled out your census form yet, please fill out that form. If you have people in your life that are not registered to vote, make sure they're registered to vote. If you have young people in your life that want access to, like, anti-racism resources, There's a proliferation of amazing resources out there. If you don't know and you want some help supporting, know that I'm happy to give you some guidance of things that have come across my radar that may be of interest. This is a time to speak out. This is a time to be vocal. This is not a time to be quiet. And so in any way that you can, harness the power of your practice to help to heal the world. This is the time. It's right now. And we know that Ram Dass says, be here now, right? Here now. What time is it? Right now. Where are you? Right here. Yeah, we're right here. So in the right here and the right now, having this practice, this space to come to see one another, to be open, to be caring, to be compassionate, in this virtual space, I mean, what a blessing. What a blessing. And so let your hands just softly come to your heart and feel your heart space. Feel your heart space. Feel yourself soften more deeply into your connection with self, your connection to Satya, your connection to truth, your connection to Ahimsa, your connection to protection, to refuge, to care. Softening more deeply into the heart. And we'll inhale through the nose and a soft exhale, just welcoming ourselves, welcoming our Sangha through that letting go process. Inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth. Inhale through the nose. Exhale through the mouth. And I want you to connect and feel those qualities, that quality of ahimsa. Let it move through you. That quality of protection, of care, of nonviolence. And we allow ourselves to see those spaces inside where we are violent, where we are filled with hatred, where we are filled with greed, where we are filled with anger. And we softly shine the light of love, of care on those own spaces so that we can exist in a world where everything is a mirror for what's going on inside. And we do the same with Satya, we do the same with honesty, and we look inside and we allow ourselves to see things really clearly. And we see the interdependence between what's going on in the inside and what's going on in the outside. And we allow ourselves to feel the pain and the suffering in the world in a way that also simultaneously allows us to feel more grounded in our commitment to end that pain and that suffering. And it can be very small. It doesn't have to be a big, grand action. It can be a smile to somebody. It can be a holding of a door. It could be a writing of a post in social media, letting people know that they're seen and they're cared for. And showing up to our practice, showing up to ourselves, showing up to our lives, our hearts, our Sangha, our hearts, our lives, our hearts. Our world is out of balance, and we will feel that in our bodies. our bodies are out of balance, and we will feel that in our worlds. And this isn't about fixing or changing, but it is about understanding and potentially transforming. And that takes time and effort and commitment. We call it discipline in spiritual practice. And so as you feel your hand resting on your heart, feel that connection to yourself, that divine connection, and really that holding the heart space up by continuing to show up for your practice. Let the hands come together, Anjali Mudra. And we'll take an inhale through our nose and an exhale through our mouth, and we'll chant the sacred sound Om together 3 times. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Gently bow the head in towards the heart.